Hello, and welcome to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
I'm Cindy Savage, real queer wedding planner at ILS Traveled.
And I'm Amanda Summerlin, super gay wedding photographer at Amanda Summerlin Photography.
We're wedding pros who are gay as fuck.
And we're talking about wedding shit from an LGBTQ perspective.
Super gay wedding, fuck yeah!
Woo!
Time to start the recording.
Let's start recording! This episode. Are you ready?
I'm starting the timer.
Let's do it. I have coffee.
You've got coffee? I got coffee too. I've got good coffee today.
I bought that. I already forgot what kind of oil it is. The thing you recommended for your brain.
MCT. Is it working? Yeah.
What do you think?
Let me just say, it seems to be really getting the job done there.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah? Maybe I just got
how will the, I know?
That's what I don't know. I noticed that I can focus a lot
better. It's really working.
But I'm also using a lot of other tools as well. Yeah, it's definitely working, I'd say.
I just had one sip right now. I haven't even had it.
Oh.
How is it, like an instant effect for you? Do you feel it immediately?
I would say the first couple of days.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe been a week now. The first couple of days, I would definitely say that I felt pretty alert and on.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, correlating to starting this, it also correlates to having gotten full nights of sleep. So
yeah, the sleep thing is way more critical than
I'm hesitant to call this a definite win so far, because I haven't felt a big enough effect for me to say, yes, this is absolutely the thing. And I'm always, as a person who believes in science, wary of placebo effects, especially for things like this, where it's really subjective. Is my brain functioning better today? I don't know. I don't have a brain scientist measuring my brain activity. So,
well, I mean, the measurable thing is the amount of work that you're accomplishing. You know, you got your to-do list.
Sure.
And, I mean, for me,
my
hours and hours of editing that I spend editing photos can be, it can make you scream. You're so bored sometimes because it's very repetitive, and there's automations that you can apply, but then there's stuff you just have to do manually. You have to move that slider one click for this photo and two clicks for that photo and negative two for that one. You know, it's, and you know, I'll do hundreds in a day.
Yeah.
And I was finding, because I'm already pretty easily distracted, I always kind of joke that photography is the one job where having ADD is kind of a job skill, you know, because it's like I'm so easily distracted. I notice a lot of stuff. I'm pretty vigilant and stuff like that. But at the same time, sitting down to edit is almost painful for me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on resolving that, because I would find myself, instead of editing photos, you know, if something flickered on another window or something in the back of my computer, I'd be on Facebook for an hour, and then I come back and work for 5 minutes, and then the dog would make a noise. You know, it was really easy for me to get anything but my work done.
I have that problem too. I think a lot of people have that problem.
It's all, you know, boring, right?
Especially when we work for ourselves, because when you go to an office, like, there's an expectation that you're only going to actually work, you know, 60% of the time or whatever. Because everybody, I don't know, I'm making that up. Literally, I'm making that up. Don't quote me on it. Not a real statistic. But, you know, like, nobody in an office expects that you're going to spend every single minute that you're in the office actually doing work, because you're going to spend.
I don't think you've been in an office lately. I mean, the rules at my wife's office are pretty awful, actually, a lot of the time. I mean, she has a great job too, and it's like she tells me about some of the things, you know, that they have to do, and I'm like, this sounds awfully militant. I would be really not cool there. So,
well, okay, perhaps I don't know, maybe that's the norm now. It's been a while since I worked in an office, but most offices where I've worked, I mean, yes, your boss expects you to be working all day, but the amount, in my experience, of productivity that is generally expected is definitely not at capacity. It's below capacity. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. Anyway, but what I know is most people I know who work office jobs seem to have time for chatting with coworkers, G-chatting with people who don't work in their office about things not related to work, scrolling Facebook, posting on Instagram. Like people, maybe
your friends have cool jobs. Maybe I should get.
Maybe everyone's doing it from the toilet on their bathroom breaks. I don't know. But it seems like there isn't this, unless your boss is literally standing over your shoulder, there's not like a mandate of workity work, 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 work. And I think when we work for ourselves, we sometimes put a, if I'm not working every second that I say I'm going to be working, I'm not being productive, pressure on ourselves. And we don't.
Yeah, that's not how I arrange my workday at all, though. I mean, I actually have almost solved the problem, which is why I told you about the stuff, right?
No, I think, yeah.
I mean, it starts with sleep.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that a little bit, you know, and insomnia stuff and sleep. But I mean, it really does start with sleep and then you build from there. Because if you don't have sleep, you can't really
function. No, and I want to let you talk about sleep.
50% capacity or better. Because you keep
pushing this book on everybody. But I just want to say, like, it's something that I've had to learn while running my own business is that is to let your work sort of in some ways be dictated by your day to day capabilities. So I might say tomorrow I'm going to spend 6 hours doing task Y or whatever. I'm going to spend as long as it takes to get task Y achieved. And tomorrow, if I sit down and I do it and I'm not in the right brain space for it, I will sit there for 4 hours and kind of stare at a blank page.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to be working on it, but I don't have the right brain space to actually accomplish it, where my time would be better spent. Like, if I'm not in the right brain space for task X, try to say that fast. It would be better for me to respond to some emails or go do something that doesn't require that kind of brain space and then come back to it when I'm in the zone. Anyway.
Does that work for
some
you?
Some of that.
I would never be in the zone to do editing unless I have to. It's like,
it depends on the task. Some things it works for. Other things, like I've been writing articles for Catalyst, and for me, that's a lot of time where I end up staring at the blank page going, gotta get this done, gotta get this done, gotta get this done, and not feeling the right.
Well, a lot of that
creative
work
inspiration
is about timing, because creativity is very different.
That's what I was gonna say. For me, I've noticed that whenever I tell myself first thing in the morning, I'm gonna tackle this task. If task in question is a creative task, I've just fucked myself because I am not creative in the morning.
No,
I am not a morning person.
Rhythms, and
right?
Stuff. Yeah.
Right. So trying to write something that people want to actually read at 10 a.m. is not. It's useless. I need to start that shit at 4. And at 10 a.m., I need to be responding to emails and typing up timelines and things that use the logistics part of my brain and not the creative part. That's what I know.
Maybe. I still say you're not getting enough sleep.
That is also true a lot of the time. I'm so much better about it than I used to be.
There's this thing where... well, I can't remember the name of the book because I didn't get enough sleep last night and that fucked up my memory today.
It's called Why We Sleep.
That's it. That's why we sleep, because it fixes your memory. One of the things that I learned a long time ago before I read this book is that creativity is a type of memory. It's a type of associative memory. And so it's one of the most important things I did for my career, oddly, is to put myself in better hotels when I travel so that I get better sleep, so that I wake up the next day fully refreshed and therefore able to solve all the problems that happen on a wedding day. And when I started doing that, instead of staying in shit hotels, cheap hotels, but staying consistently in one chain of hotels with, you know, a really good bed and quiet space and all those things, and consistently getting enough sleep the night before a wedding, then I walk into that wedding at 100% brain power. Because REM sleep is when your memory is repaired, restored, and finished. You know, because REM sleep is literally the process of finishing a memory. You know,
right, because it's not locked in just because it happened.
No, it's actually stored in one part of your brain, and then REM sleep is let's process it and put it into long-term storage. It's very much like a computer, actually. There's there's RAM, and then there's the hard drive, right? And so it's like it's stored in a temporary space, and until you get that REM sleep and process it, it's not stored long-term, which is why you have such a hard time remembering what you have for breakfast and crap like that. You know, so it's like if you focus, and REM sleep happens towards the morning. There's our duck. But I'll finish that thought. REM sleep is the morning, that last hour or two of sleep, which is the one you're most likely to lose if you get up too soon. So if you want to be more creative, if you want to be able to remember more stuff, get 8 hours of sleep.
And if you're a night owl, try to find a way to make your work life not start too early.
Yeah.
Which might look like what I do, which is work for myself, work flexible hours for other people. And then when I stay up till 1 o'clock all the time, it's fine because I don't get up till 9.
Nice.
I got up
speaking
early today.
Speaking of like awesome places to sleep.
Today.
Who are we talking to today?
That's a great segue, and I'm glad you did it.
Because I want to go stay there.
I thought of it a minute ago, and then I forgot about it already because I didn't get enough sleep last night. Speaking of excellent places to sleep, today we are talking to Jay and Mindy from the Kirby Hotel in Saugatuck, Michigan.
Michigan.
The Kirby is a small little boutique hotel, and it's in Saugatuck, obviously, as I said, which is, Amanda, I don't know if you know this since you're not from the upper Midwest, but Saugatuck is like, if you live in Chicago, that's the gay, it's like the P-town of the Midwest. The gay getaway.
We need to get me up there because that's one of the 5 states I haven't been to yet.
Yeah, we should do that.
Totally.
We'll make it happen. So if you're thinking about a gay getaway to Saugatuck, you might want to listen to this episode because we're going to hear all about the Kirby Hotel and how they can make your super gay wedding super fabulous.
They're a great team. Jay is the owner and Mindy is the chef and property manager. And
yeah. And they're both really great.
They really are. Hopefully the recording's not too horrible.
You need to cut that out, right?
Depends on how horrible the recording is.
Maybe we should actually, so let's,
we should apologize in advance. Yeah. Let's just start again. I mean, start from here.
We'll just make a little thing that you can add in if you need to. Okay. So.
And we pre-recorded this interview as we always do. And there were some pretty significant connection issues. So we're going to apologize in advance if it's a little bit choppy or if it drops out. But it was hard to coordinate these guys. They're really busy and we wanted to get them on the show. So let's do a quick sort of welcome to this thing. You want to do that, Cindy?
What, like, welcome to our podcast?
Yeah, welcome. Say, hello, you done this before? Oh my God, and we totally melt down right here.
Oh, it's all over. we're bad at the stuff that happens before we start asking questions.
That's true.
We need to but we're kind of funny about how terrible we are. Anyway,
okay, so
here we are. It's a super gay wedding podcast, and today we're talking to Jay and Mindy from the Kirby Hotel in Saugatuck, Michigan.
Yay.
Saugatuck, welcome.
Is that right?
Saugatuck, isn't it? That's Saugatuck. How you say it.
Yeah. Saugatuck.
I lived close enough. I never went. Can you believe I lived in Chicago for 16 years and I never went to Saugatuck?
Oh my God.
I've never been there.
You've got to be there.
So Amanda, Saugatuck is like the gay Mecca just outside of Chicago. It's where all the gays go for vacation. It's stupid that I haven't been there. Real stupid.
I mean, really, it is.
Right?
Michigan is one of the 5 states I haven't been to yet. So you guys have to tell me about it.
Oh my God. It's so beautiful.
Next year, let's have a super gay party in Saugatuck.
Oh, let's plan it.
Yeah.
Cindy and Amanda, we're planning it.
We're going to do it.
That's cool.
We'll record an episode while we're there. It'll be a business trip.
I think that'd be great.
Really quickly, so that everybody knows, everybody who's listening knows who you are. Jay, tell us what your role is, and then Mindy, tell us what your role is with the Kirby.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the owner and founder of the Kirby. And my role is basically to come in, sit at the bar, have some cocktails, and ask Mindy about things, and then she just ignores me and does what she thinks is best, which she's done a great job of doing for 4 years.
You've done well for yourself. That's awesome.
That sounds like a pretty sweet gig, actually.
Right? It's a great gig. How I prefer it.
We like to ask people, what do you think makes an LGBTQ wedding different from a straight wedding?
Mindy, do you want to answer first?
I sure will. Well, what makes it different, you go through the same basic steps like you go through any other wedding, but what makes it different is really how people are reacting around you, your family, your friends. And what's kind of strange, what I've noticed, is people sometimes will feel afraid, uncomfortable, uncertain in dealing with it in the first place. And that's just another added stress that a wedding couple has to deal with. Yeah. And we've seen a few of these here. We've also seen the opposite of that as well, but it just kind of gives it a little added stress to it.
Yeah, I would add, I think that the big difference between a gay wedding and a straight wedding, at least for me and my husband, we had, you know, there was that, like Mindy said, added pressure of some family that isn't so accepting and or not as warm and loving as you would imagine. Matter of fact, I had to deal with a sister who was just decided not to come in the last minute because her Christian religion didn't allow her to accept it. Yeah, whatever. So, right. You know, and that sort of thing can, if you let it, damper things. But Kurt and I just decided, nope, that's not going to damper our mood. We're going to have a great time. And we did. And the rest of our family celebrated fantastically. And the only one who missed out was a sister who was not accepting.
Now, have you guys managed to repair your relationship since then, or is that still something that's going on?
Nope. I don't. I said, and if you don't accept my husband, you don't accept us, and you don't accept me. We're a family, and you know, if you think that your religion comes before accepting us, you're not part of my life. And that's the way it is. And you know, it's sad a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, that's very sad, but a reality for, I'd say, maybe even most of us. Certainly, it's getting better in the age of millennials, but
God bless the millennials. But
everybody likes to pick on them.
It's not our fault.
I think they're doing pretty well in a lot of ways.
Actually, I'd like to love them because I think they're way better than boomers.
All right. So do you guys have had quite a few weddings at your venue by now, pretty good number of LGBTQ weddings. Do you have any favorite moments that come to mind?
Oh, absolutely. A while ago when we moved out to Michigan, you know, we wanted to advertise the Kirby as a great place for diverse weddings, for gay weddings, for all types of weddings. And so I'm out there and I'm just trying to promote us that we do a lot of gay weddings. And what I didn't realize in Michigan is that people were not able to get married legally in Michigan. Having lived in West Hollywood, California and Chicago, you just really didn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
But Michigan is a more conservative place. So I'm advertising the weddings and then we find out someone just taps me on the shoulder. You do know it's illegal for gays to get married out here and it's not accepted. And I said, what? So finally, a few years later, when it did become legal for everyone, you know, everywhere, people came out of the woodwork and were getting married. And it was really a beautiful thing because these were couples who've been together 20, 30 years who wanted to get married in their home state, in their neighborhood. And we had quite a few of them then. So at one of our first weddings, these two women were getting married and there was just a great, great amount of people at the wedding. It was huge. And there was a couple politicians that were real big in the community. They were performing the wedding. And what happened was not only did they pronounce them married, but they said, and for the first time in Saugatuck Douglas, we now pronounce you legally married. And the entire crowd, old, young, conservative, liberal, you name it, all got up gave everybody this crazy standing ovation and didn't stop cheering. And there's tears dripping everywhere. I could just like have tears now telling you the story, but people just didn't stop cheering and crying at the same time for like 20 minutes. It felt like it was kind of history. We've talked about that here
a little bit before, that LGBTQ weddings have, in addition to the joy that's usually always present, you hope anyway, on a wedding day, that our weddings also have a sense of triumph or victory to them because we've overcome so many things, as well as worked really hard to be able to even have weddings.
Oh my God, that's so true. I asked my husband to get married on the day that the Obergefell decision came out. And that was, and I got so excited because I was flying back from LA on a business trip to Chicago. And when we landed, I heard about the Obergefell decision, and I stopped at a jewelry store on the way home, just picked up a ring, and then basically asked him when we were going to a movie.
So how long had you two, long had you two been together already when that happened?
How long were we together? About a year and a half? About a year and a half. But I mean, as Mindy said, that just the joy that you had, knowing that we could do something that everybody else could do all these years, right? Just knowing that we can all get married. And it's crazy. I didn't think I would feel so much joy. And I really felt so much joy that day that I just impulsively got a ring in 20 minutes and asked him, because I just thought, never in my lifetime, you know, a guy in his 50s, never thought in 100 years we'd see gay marriage. And it was just one of the coolest days, a day I'll always remember.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing is we all think, I think today's society, we think it's rough, and it is. It's rough going through these times. I don't know if I'm allowed to say these Trump times, these times of Trump. They are challenging, to say the least. So and it's so hard to go, you know, we think it's hard to go through this. We just have to say, okay, we've taken two incredible steps forward. Mm-hmm. And maybe taking a step backwards right now, but we're going to take more steps forward in the LGBT.
I think that now that everyone's had a taste of it, we're not going to go as far backwards as they want to go without a huge, huge fight.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Which is not to say they aren't going to try.
Oh, yeah. They've been trying, though. We've been fighting them for decades now.
Yeah. But I don't think we can go that far back. Mm-hmm. I hope not.
They can't take it away. So, you know, as a venue, you guys are kind of responsible for setting quite a tone for a wedding day. What are some of the things that you do to address the different needs for LGBTQ couples?
It's so hard. It doesn't matter. How many times have we said that on the show? So many. We still stumble a little. It's not possible.
Right?
It's a lot of letters. Yeah. LGBTQ.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you do to help the couples in the community?
Well, the first thing I think is really making sure that they are comfortable with us and mm-hmm. that they know anything goes, that we can provide for them a comfort that they'll have during their wedding, before and after their wedding as well, that'll be 100% comfortable for everyone. A lot of times the wedding couple's parents will stay at our hotel. Mm-hmm. They'll book the parents, the wedding party, and different people. And it's really just giving that extra recognition and reassurance to the couple and their families when they're staying here, and just making sure they are confident that everything is going to be great.
Yeah, because the one thing you don't want to be worrying about on your wedding day is whether or not the people who are making it happen support you getting married.
Well, I'll say this about Mindy, because I've just watched her. Again, I'm the guy who doesn't have to do much, and she does all the work. But I watch her on a wedding day or the day before a wedding, and nothing is off limits, really. I mean, she really goes above and beyond to make sure that the couples have just even like that wake up in the morning and the coffee is right there and the biscuits are right there and this incredible breakfast on the morning of their wedding. And if they want a nice glass of champagne or a mimosa, or she'll pour a glass of wine, whatever. And she just, and from there on out, she just, it's all about the couple. And that's what I love when I watch Mindy and her team at work.
I would like to wake up to coffee and biscuits. That sounds fantastic.
Or champagne.
Any of those things.
Thank you, Jay.
So I'm curious if you have any thoughts from your work or that you could share with other wedding venues about ways that they might make their spaces more inclusive towards all couples. So we talk to a lot of other service providers, and a large part of what we all want to do to make sure people are included is about how we talk to people and how we approach people and the kind of service we give. But you have a different responsibility because you have a physical space that you have to make sure works for everyone who's there. So is there anything that you do that particularly addresses the needs of LGBTQ couples as opposed to straight couples, or that you think other venues might need to consider?
Well, it's a little bit of an offbeat answer, but something that I found more important than anything is kind of taking the parents and giving the parents of the couple this great feeling that everything is okay and this is a completely normal situation. And it's really working with the parents, addressing them by their first names, making sure they have everything they need, and really giving that extra little attention to them so they're put at ease and feel real good about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that takes just a little bit of pressure off the couple, just so they do not have to necessarily watch, okay, what's my mom thinking? What's this? You know, a lot of the parents are just have the slightest bit of a little awkwardness or not very comfortable with the fact that their kid is marrying somebody of the same sex, and they just are not sure 100% how to act. So it's really reassuring the parents. It's just like anything else, and it's really giving them that extra time, even a little bit before the wedding, getting to know them, making it comfortable.
That's a really fantastic sort of observation there. And, you know, also in addition to maybe feeling a little bit awkward, the parents also might be feeling overprotective too. And, you know, reassuring them that everyone's going to be taken care of well and with respect and with love. That I think that probably puts everyone at ease right away. That's really smart of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that Mindy really goes above and beyond in that way. I mean, again, I've seen her just work the crowd, and she just, and it's not like she works a crowd. She genuinely feels what she feels.
Yeah, you can hear the passion in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. She tries to make everybody feel at ease, and I think she does a great job with that.
Also, there's biscuits, right? I mean, everything's better with biscuits.
Everything's better with her biscuits.
Except for people like you who can't eat wheat, Amanda.
I have a soft spot for biscuits. They're allowed.
Mindy, you made, what do you call that? Gluten-free? Those gluten-free muffins you make or something.
Sounds worth trying. Yeah, it's like I learned a few years back I was allergic to wheat, and it wasn't very sad except for biscuits. So
yeah, I would imagine. That would be sad for me.
I'm not willing to even try it. If I found out I couldn't eat bread, my life would be over. I'd be sad.
Here's how you do it. You just don't get tested. And if you feel miserable once in a while, you just feel miserable. That's all.
I've never felt miserable enough to give up bread. Not yet in my life.
I felt miserable enough I should give up alcohol a couple times, but you know, it didn't work.
Well, you gave it up for some amount of time, and you probably felt better for some amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to couples who are planning a wedding now, gay couples. If they're planning a wedding right now, what advice would you guys give to them to help them along?
If I were telling people to plan a wedding, first of all, I'd say call the Kirby. But okay,
right?
A shameless advertisement. No, I would say, first and foremost, listen to each other. And because everybody has a different thought, right? And one person may want a big wedding. One person may want a small wedding. And you got to find your compromise and just try to work it out. That's the most important. It should be the best day of your lives too. Don't worry about other people. So if your parents want something, or your friends want something else. It's about you two. So that's the most important thing. But second, and very important, and I will say without any hesitation, it's about location. You have to find the venue that is beautiful. And that's why, like, we could never do a huge wedding. We can't do several hundred people at the Kirby, but you know, if you have a 50-person wedding, it's just gorgeous. And there's many other places in Saugatuck, Douglas, and other parts of Michigan that are great wedding venues. But do something that you just walk in and you feel the beauty when you walk into that place. Don't just go to a hotel that has a big room with four walls. Do something that's special. Make it a gorgeous venue. That's what I would say.
So will you tell us a little bit about your gorgeous venue? What kind of, if you had to describe it without pictures, what would you tell people?
Well, all right.
Besides, so, go to the website and look at the pictures.
No, I totally said that I would do to compromise, right? Except then I talked my husband into doing a big wedding. He didn't necessarily want to do a big wedding. So I'm a total hypocrite. Everything I just said about compromise with your partner, he gave
Well, he compromised. That's
yeah. Well. No, he compromised. Yeah, and we actually had it at Navy Pier in Chicago, and we had a big wedding.
It's a very different venue than your hotel. Very different.
We had it by the Ferris wheel, and it was incredible, and it was fun, and it was an indoor area right next to the Ferris wheel at Navy Pier, and it was beautiful, and it was fun. Then we honeymooned at the Kirby, basically.
That sounds pretty perfect, actually.
It was incredible. It was fun.
Yeah, so Mindy, what advice would you have for a couple planning a wedding right now?
Well, I would say find a venue and the vendors that will make the wedding yours. For example, when we have people that come in and talk to me about a wedding, and they're just looking at a bunch of different places, I'm going to ask them something. How did you meet? What did you have to eat on your first day? So, for example, we had a couple who met on a Caribbean cruise. They wanted to design their wedding menu around Caribbean food, Caribbean music. So they wanted to share their experience and how they met and share that with the rest of their guests, and they thought that was a part of an expression of their love. So we're not a big corporate hotel or a room with four walls, as Jay had said. We are going to be the place that will make the wedding about you. We're not going to say pick package 1, 2, or 3. I'm going to say tell me about yourselves and make this wedding about you. And that's, I think, what's the most important thing. And that's part of the comfort factor, but that's something that they're proud of and so excited to share with the rest of their group.
All right, that's it. I'm going on a mission. I want to hang out with you guys.
We already said we're going to do it. We're going to do
right,
it.
We're in.
When are you coming?
All right. We're waiting.
Get myself up there, man. All right. So we're moving into this the part of the conversation where you guys get to reveal a little bit about your personalities. Well, we've talked about how amazing you are, but I want to know something besides work. So
now we get to fire some random questions at you that were not in your pre-screen questions that we sent you.
Love it.
Be afraid. All right, so I'm gonna let you pick the first one.
Who wants
one.
To go first? That's the first question. Who wants to go first?
Everybody knows lesbians are braver than gay guys, so.
Well, okay then.
You just threw you right under the bus, right away.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you one that's not on our list because that just made me think of one. All right. Mindy, what, if any, lesbian stereotypes do you fit?
Ah, let me answer that one.
Okay.
No. Let me answer first.
Zero.
Oh, come on.
Not even one.
Okay, honestly, since I moved to Michigan, we have a motto out here. You know, I've been in the restaurant business and all this for a long time, but I've been in areas, like the Gold Coast in Chicago. And it's just a little fancier where you move out here and it's in a small town and, you know, you're running a property and there's just a lot that has to be done. So you come out here and you trade in your Dolce and Gabbanas and your Pradas for Sanders, Dawes, tree trimmers, and basically you have no fashion and you have all power tools that line your closet. So that is the stereotype I now fit into.
It sounds like my kind of place.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
I want to go to Michigan.
It is very rewarding. It's rewarding.
So let's see what we can check up on your list. Do you own any plaid flannel shirts?
Not one.
Me either.
What?
I know. I haven't found that. I'm not a button-down girl.
Hmm. Mm.
Not yet, anyway. Maybe one day.
I'm a child of the 90s. I'm still young. I got a lot of flannel.
Yeah, I love flannel.
I'm a child of the 90s. My older sister had a lot of flannel. She's straight, as far as I know.
That's because of Pearl Jam and Kurt Cobain. We all wore flannel because, Seattle, right?
Fast.
I know. Yeah. This is a tangent we can cut out, but fashion-wise, as a child and a young teenager, I was like solidly 5 to 10 years behind everybody else. So I missed the memo on the flannels, and I would have really enjoyed it. So it's too bad. But anyway.
Mm.
Okay. So no flannels. Do you own any Birkenstocks?
Doesn't abide
me. Absolutely.
Yes. Mindy?
I'm not on you yet, Jay. We're doing lesbian.
Oh, you just Mindy.
Hang on.
I thought you were asking Bo. I'm like, none of this applies.
Jay probably has.
Okay, what are the other stereotypes? We already talked about power tools. How do you feel about sports? Do you play softball? Or flag football?
You know, I can play softball. Never football. I can hit a good softball, but no, I'm not a big sports person.
And when when you go to a party, what is your dip of choice to bring if you have to bring a dip?
Uh-oh.
Caviar.
All right.
Caviar and potato chips.
That's because you're a chef. Okay. So you fit a couple. All right.
I said, I'm not in the hummus stereotype.
Because I was about to ask, what's the lesbian dip? Because I don't know this.
It's hummus.
It's hummus?
There's no such thing as a lesbian party without hummus. It doesn't exist. Go to a party with a room full of lesbians.
Exactly. Hummus.
I don't know why, because it never gets all the way. Hummus is fine, but it's not my favorite dip. But there's always hummus at lesbian parties. Always.
See, I just usually thought that more was than white people did hummus. Like, remember that stuff white people like blog that used to, or Twitter?
Yeah.
Peacoats and hummus is what I remember.
I was going to say, Mindy likes pâté. She's sort of like a pâté girl.
But she is also a chef.
Yeah, that's true.
That affects your opinions on food.
No, that's a rough question.
All right, it's time to pick on Jay now. Yeah.
What gay?
I like answering the lesbian questions better. I'm more of a lesbian than Mindy.
Well, I'm more of a gay man, so maybe we can trade.
Well, there we go.
What gay stereotypes do you fit?
What gay stereotypes do I fit? Oh, I'm kind of a particular, okay. I guess. Clean? What would you say, Kurt? Oh, he says I'm not clean. I don't mean it came off terribly, not clean. Oh, I like art and furniture. I'm kind of persnickety that way.
Okay.
I'm with you there.
I drink martinis. Kind of a gay thing. I don't know. I love Broadway.
That was going to be my next question. See, that's where my inner gay man comes out, because I'm all about the show tunes. All about the show.
Oh, girl, love
You'd find me at Sidetrack on a Sunday night.
Oh, yes. Sidetracks. Yeah, on Monday. Show tune night, right? Or was it Sunday?
Oh, it was Monday. You're right. Sometimes they did it on Sunday, too, but it was Monday because Monday is the theater people's night off, and we always used to go to Sidetracks on Mondays.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only problem was you'd go there, and you'd try to check out a cute guy or something. When I was single, and they'd always be looking up at the video screen.
I never had that problem.
Are we like Cher or Madonna?
Oh.
The answer is yes.
I love them both.
I mean, it's Madonna's birthday, like what, tomorrow or today? Today.
She's very close to my birthday, except she's a few years older.
Yeah.
Love Madonna. But I love Cher. I'm torn.
I mean, Cher just did the ABBA album. This is hard.
I don't think you have to choose.
I had ABBA, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get it. Well, maybe one more question, yeah?
All right, one more question.
You should pick the next one, since I did that one.
All right, well, let's do bucket list. Something on your bucket list.
Going to Iceland.
Yes.
For Gay Pride.
They have Gay Pride there?
What, yes.
Reykjavik, I guess?
They have a, first of all, you do know they have a lesbian president, right?
What? No.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
This is my people, yes. You know.
Iceland has a lesbian president.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
And she's very, obviously very progressive, intelligent, so forth. You also
know that there are such thing as non-progressive LGBTQ people. There's that whole log cabin
Republican. There's three of us that voted for Trump, but whatever.
What?
Not us.
Not either of us. God, no. Nobody here is messing with the orange, but... Yeah. Every now and then you run into him online or something. You're like, what's wrong with you? So that's awesome. Iceland, huh? I think I might just move there.
Gay Pride in Iceland with the lesbian president. I love her.
That sounds great.
All right, Mindy, what's something on your bucket list?
Well, mine is not as exotic, nor does it concern a lesbian president, but it's just kind of starts local here, is doing things here to get Michigan to become a blue state again, and doing a lot of things here to make it happen in the next month or so in a real big way. And we're working on a lot of different projects for that right here.
That's awesome. You know, Georgia's purple these days, and they're worried that it's going to turn blue. And there's been a lot of
good
naughty things going on here with
so close.
Voters, so close. Districts closing and stuff. So,
the governor, possible African-American governor. They're
Stacey Adams, yeah.
Stacey Adams. I think she's fantastic. I heard her speak.
She's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, amazing woman.
So, but I think the secret to turning Michigan blue might be in biscuits. So I'm just saying.
Mindy's
You are Mindy's on to biscuits. Something.
That's Mindy's an easy
biscuits one. Will turn people blue.
I have an idea for your campaign strategy. For whoever you're campaigning
let's
for.
Let's hear it.
You just first you go door to door and you give people a bite, like a single bite of a biscuit. And if they want the rest of the biscuit, they have to promise they're going to vote Democrat.
Or just hear you out, either way.
Right. I like it.
For a second bite, they hear her out for the entire biscuit and maybe a bonus one, they promise to vote Democrat.
Wait, I got to ask you three a question now.
Okay.
Hillary or Bernie?
Neither.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, if they're running against a Republican, whoever, sure. Yeah,
right.
I'm on board. I'm not doing this third party bullshit, but I don't.
Next
there
election.
Are things I like about both of them, and there are things I dislike about both of them.
Okay.
They're not
next election, Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren?
Ooh, that's tough.
Both of them on the same ticket.
That would be best.
Ooh. I don't even care who's in which position.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we just need to get rid of these political dynasties. We don't need any.
Yeah.
What we need is like, no.
I like Hillary, but.
And you know, Bernie's been kind of shady. I mean, I respect her completely, you know, and I learned a lot about her during the last election. And, you know, because we've all been fed such a line of BS since the 90s about the Clintons. And I went and did the research, and she absolutely was the most qualified person for the job, bar none. But at this point, we need to move on. We need new people, new ideas.
I don't think she's even thinking about running again.
Oh, no, she's not. No, she's not been like very good. She's disappeared. Yeah. I mean, she's off the scene.
Well, wouldn't you?
She's hiking.
If I were her, I would be like, I've just purchased an island somewhere and see you never.
Right? I mean, but she drops in and she leaves a little tweet bomb and, you know. That last
from
one,
her island.
Like emails. Yeah, I mean,
from
she's,
her island.
She's got class, and I appreciate it.
Do you think a male who had been Secretary of State, who did all the things that she did, would have been given such a hard time?
No.
I just don't. And it's just amazing.
If a man had run on that ticket against Donald Trump, there would have been a sweeping Democratic victory.
I think so. I really do.
Yeah, if the male version of Hillary Clinton had run, you would have had a lot of Republicans voting Democrat.
Truthfully, I think anybody who'd run who didn't have the name Clinton, I mean, they've literally been
they've been under
demolishing the Clintons for decades now. I mean, they started, you know,
their time is up.
Brainwashing
under 30 years of being under a microscope, and they just tried to find stuff. And I think they never gave her a fair shake. And that's how history will judge her.
Well, they anticipated she was going to run because she's an ambitious woman, and they worked us for decades. And it's really hard to undo that kind of brainwashing. And one of the things I learned in advertising is you say anything 9 times and people believe it as fact.
Oh, God, I've learned
how many thousands of times have we heard anything about Hillary?
But her emails.
Oh, my God. And yet they all do the same thing with their emails in the Trump administration.
Oh, he's handed out his phone number to people left and right and stuff. Whatever.
Yeah. A man makes presidential declarations by tweet.
It's sickening. He is an abomination of a president.
Every day it's something.
It really is.
Every day it's about 18 somethings, but we can only keep up with half of one.
True.
It's true.
Wow. Well, we've really derailed this, haven't we?
That's
as
fun.
Per usual.
That's kind of the point.
I didn't think any of this would record. Fun with you guys.
Well, Amanda will leave it in probably because she edits.
I think
that, you know, you're not likely to be booking many Trump voters at your space. So,
you know what?
You don't want to be anyway.
Well,
probably
we take them all. We take them all. I'll say that it's better for business.
Yeah.
But I'm a gay liberal trial lawyer. Do they think I'm going to be for a Republican?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that our, you know, the description of our podcast is only going to draw in certain people. So intent.
We might be too gay for troll listeners.
That's true.
That's a goal to work toward, though.
Right. But they couldn't get caught having something called super gay on their computer or their phone or whatever. That would be such an indictment, you know?
Right there next to the porn.
Right. It'd be hard for them to defend that as like.
Oh, no. If it were porn, they would be on it. Those Republicans.
Well, you know, Georgia's got the highest lesbian porn download rate in the nation or something. You know?
So, I don't think it has the highest percentage of lesbians, though.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's San Francisco.
Random stuff. But thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us and putting up with all the technical issues that it took to get you here.
This was fun.
It really was fun.
We have a good time.
And you guys are seriously invited up. Come up, visit, hang out. Have dinner on us. Come on up.
Yeah, I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah, we will.
We'll definitely, I'm on a mission to photograph a wedding in every state, so I'm definitely going to be hardcore looking for a Michigan couple.
Cool.
See if I can get them to book too.
We'll cut this out because it's absolutely shameless self-promotion. So I'm saying it again, Amanda, you're going to cut, when you're listening to this, you're going to cut this part out of the podcast.
Yeah, sure, I will.
Cut it out.
Okay.
Snip it.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda and I both travel for free, and she's a wedding photographer, and I'm a wedding planner. So just pitch us to somebody you think would like us, and we'll come. We'll come together. Oh. It'll be hilarious and awesome.
Mindy, you'll cut. You would definitely do that. She's always taking recommendations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring us. We're great. All right. So if people want to come get married up in Saugatuck at the Kirby, and they need more information, where should they go in the world of the internets to find you?
This is your chance to shamelessly plug your website and all other social media.
www.thekirbyhotel.com 269-857-5472. Check out photos on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it.
And you will often find me sitting at the bar having a cocktail. I'm willing to chat with anybody.
Well, I think that's a great deal.
It's a good deal.
Sounds definitely pretty good.
I'm going to go follow that Instagram right now myself.
Yeah, good.
Definitely. And we'll include all this info in the
show notes
so people can link back through, and you don't have to write this down if you're driving, because you shouldn't be writing if you're driving.
No, you shouldn't. You should be listening to Super Gay Wedding, but you should not be writing. We're texting. We're doing it. Don't drive distracted.
This is
don't get in car crashes.
Brought to you by
we need at least weddings. Yes,
definitely don't drive distracted.
Super Gay Wedding says don't text and drive. Arrive alive.
Thanks for listening to our fucking podcast.
Now's the part where we tell you who makes this podcast possible and ask you to help more people find us.
The Super Gay Wedding Podcast is brought to you by
Catalyst Wedding Co.
love, weddings, and marriage for feminists, the LGBTQ plus community, and woke folk. Find them at catalystwedco.com.
And also by
Choose Your Own Wedding, the world's first wedding planning subscription. It's everything you need to plan a great wedding at an affordable monthly price.
Sign up at chooseyourown.wedding for a complete online wedding planning course to guide you through every step of wedding planning with video lessons, worksheets, spreadsheets, and professional templates.
You'll also get personal on-demand planning support from a professional wedding planner, that's me, in our private Facebook community, and instant answers on our monthly live planning calls.
Enter the code SUPERGAY at checkout to get your first week free.
Check out all the details and subscribe now at chooseyourown.wedding.
If you like our show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, and take a minute to leave us a review.
You can find Super Gay Wedding on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you'd like to learn more about Super Gay Wedding, be on the show, or tell us what we should talk about next,
check us out at supergaywedding.com.
Find us at facebook.com/supergaywedding.
Or email us at supergaywedding@gmail.com.
And if you need a bomb-ass wedding planner who totally has her shit together and is wicked competent, you need to check out Cindy's website at islesstravel.com.
And if you need a destination photographer who's not afraid to get her camera dirty capturing your wedding adventure, then you should get your ass over to amandasummerlin.com.
And by the way, if you hire us both, we're going to give you a 5% discount.
Because we're fucking awesome.
And we love working together.
And we will rock your super gay wedding.
Fuck yeah.
Woo!
Nailed that shit. Like, for real.
I think you did, yeah.